Yes, and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans in chapter 14. But, you know, Mikkel's prayer is, you know, that we would stay on this path. We wouldn't be distracted. You know, one of the devil's favorite tools is distractions. The book of Proverbs tells us to keep our gaze fixed directly in front of us, doesn't it? So, you know, and not go wayward. You know that Isaiah chapter 35 talks about this road that's there, this highway that's there. And it's the highway of holiness. And no fools enter on that path, do they? Because the fools, they take the detours off. They take the escape routes out. The highway of holiness are for those who want to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so we know, you know, the script Jesus tells us. Matthew and I got a chance to have a Bible study with one of his buddies today, and we were talking about the gate small. The way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The gate's wide. The way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. And, you know, I just threw out there, I said, one sure way to end up in hell is to follow the crowd. And they are going the right direction. I read the book of Proverbs, and there's a few themes that run through that, but one big one to me is that you have all of these people. There's a picture that pops in my mind. You've heard me mention this before, but I get the picture in my mind of buffalo heading off the buffalo jump. And they're just following each other, one after another, over that cliff to their destruction. And then there's a few buffalo that picked up their head and said, "Now, where are we going? Why are we going there?" And brethren, that's what the Lord does in our life, doesn't He? He gives us opportunities to pick up our head. You know, we all were sinners. We all were astray. Isaiah 53, each of us had gone astray, right? I'm mixing. I think that's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 says something about going astray. But I might be quoting from another passage. But we turned aside. We went our own ways. And the Lord's caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus. So we all were there. But Christ came. And not only did He come to this earth, but He came and ultimately through His Word and through His people, He came to every one of us and gave us an opportunity to be right with Him. And we are privileged people. Talking about the kingdom. And we are a chosen race. A holy nation. A people for God's own possession. And so, you know, let's help each other. Like Mikkel said, on that path. Help each other keep walking this narrow path that leads to life. Romans 14, kind of where I started this series from a little bit ago. We worked through this whole chapter, but I'm just going to read verse 17. Oh, I have one other announcement that I need to make. And that is school uniforms. There's a lot of them in that big room back there. And there's a lot of them some of them are brand new. They're in good shape. They're freshly washed. Please go through tonight. And anything you want, take it, because we're cleaning this stuff out. So, please, yeah, see the uniform room for before you leave tonight. All right, Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We do have peace like a river, don't we? I was considering today in my prayer time. I was reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it talks about the church of God. So the church of God, which is at Corinth. And I just was praying about that. How valuable is the church to God? Purchased it with His own blood. How valuable is Jesus Christ's church? It is the most valuable possession, guys, that we have in this life. I mean, okay, you can say, oh, you can argue with me. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? But they're connected. And we, the Father's gladly chosen to give us the kingdom. What a beautiful gift. And part of my prayer today, in all honesty and sincerity, is, Lord, I want to value the church the way that You do. Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes I can see some of... Well, I'll just start with me. Maybe sometimes I see my own imperfections, or maybe worse, I'm blinded by some of my own imperfections. And it tilts the way that I see that which Jesus died for. And maybe it's by other people's. But I believe Jesus Christ, He is the... Doesn't He present to Himself the church in all her glory? She is this beautiful bride, isn't she? She is this family of God. We are a people for God's own possession. We are the elect. We are the chosen ones, the called and the chosen and the faithful. What great love the Father has bestowed upon us. And so, my prayer is, as we continue to work through some things on the kingdom, that each of us would see the church the way that God does, valuable. The kingdom of heaven, like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. Again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I'm supposed to teach on Wednesday nights and ask you guys questions, and I'm getting there, and here I veer off and start preaching sometimes. But, you know, I just ask yourself a question. Have you sold everything for this? In our terminology of today's world, we might say, are you all in? Is this the most important? Is the church of Jesus Christ truly? Do you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? Each of us got to answer that question. And when you put eternity, when you think about it from an eternal perspective, this is a no-brainer. It should be. It's just sometimes some of those distractions Mikhail was talking about, they can easily pull us away, our focus away from that which is most important. And so, my prayer as we continue to go through the kingdom is that we as a congregation would really be committed to be in the Lord's church, and that we would take the next step that we need to take, and that basically each one of us, because there's some analogies I'm going to use tonight, and one of them is team, and for a team to be effective, everybody has to buy in. It's the way it works. So, We've talked about how we know the kingdom is the church. We've talked about from Exodus chapter 19. I spent the last couple of weeks just talking about God bringing Israel into existence miraculously, and He did the same with the church, and what it means to be born again, how God rescued Israel from bondage, and how He's released us from our sins through His blood, and how He wants a people for His own possession. And this is a conditional covenant. This is conditional on if we follow Him and His ways. So, Israel was going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We know that that's really only fulfilled in the Lord's church. And that's made up of both Jewish Christian and Gentile Christian. I think we all get that. So, go with me to 1 Kings. I got a few different... I couldn't quite figure out how to perfectly organize this tonight, so you guys help me out here a little bit. But what I want to focus on don't want to tell you what I want to focus on or let you guys guess from the scriptures. Let's do that, okay? I'll read a few scriptures, and then you guys tell me what you think the focus is. 1 Kings chapter 12. Background to this, just, you know, talking about the kingdom, that Old Testament kingdom. Why do we have all that information in the Old Testament? Why do we have the kings and the Samuel and kings and Chronicles? I mean, the history's nice, and it's good, and I'm thankful that this book actually has history in it, unlike the Quran or something, but... But why is that? I think I heard somebody say it. Dr. Dobson, is that you?
Well, yeah, it's for our example.
It's for our instruction, isn't it? These things have been written for our instruction. And so these the examples of the kingdom in the Old Testament, guys, can be, there's good parts, but I would say the good parts, pretty narrow section of that. I've been enjoying my Bible reading lately because I've been getting to look at, you know, Hezekiah and Josiah, but even in between, I mean, really great guys and their kids, Tank, and, you know, so there's limited good examples. There are some, but there's lots of bad examples. And we're going to look at a couple, one of each, actually. 1 Kings chapter 12. The background of this, so King David, of course, you got King Saul, he goes bad. You got King David, he does good, except for his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, which does have consequences, guys, in the generations to come. You have King Solomon, and King Solomon does really good, except what was his big downfall? Women, particularly the foreign wives, right? Okay. So sometimes we can kid ourselves a little bit about this, and we think, you know, we'll steal from a couple young guys I've heard, you know, we can flirt to convert, or, you know, I forget what the other one is, or something about date. I appreciate some of the jokes about that in there that they took me into confidence in, but, you know, the reality of it is, when somebody marries a non-Christian, as you might, I'm strong, I'm tough, they'll never pull me away. The wisest guy in the world, the one whom God gave the most wisdom, he knew all of this stuff right. And you look what happened with his, because of the foreign wives. He worshipped idols. He did not finish this, everything I see from the scripture, he did not finish this thing well. And it goes both ways. So there's warnings in there about that. So we know Solomon dies and Rehoboam takes the throne and he doesn't want to listen to the counsel of the elders. They say, hey, you know, back it off a little. You tell the people you actually care about them. You actually be a servant king, care about the people. Then this kingdom will be united and they'll serve you. And the young guy said, no, you got to prove you're tough. You got to show who you are. You tell him, my little finger, hey, this is thicker than my daddy's thigh. Okay? And so he listened to the young guys. My guess is he wanted to. Okay? And Julie and I were talking about this recently. I sometimes try not to give too much advice because most of the time people don't listen. They're going to do what they're going to do. Okay? So most of the time this is the way it works. I am veering all over the place, right? But this is good stuff. Okay? Rehoboam, you know, this is the way it works. Rehoboam consults two groups. He gets the answer he wants to hear, and that's the one he goes with. Let's be honest about it. That's the way most of the time people work. They ask advice, they consult until they get the answer they want to hear, and then that's what they go with. Okay. So, didn't go well here. The kingdom's divided. And so, Jeroboam is over Israel, Rehoboam's over Judah. And what's the first thing Jeroboam does here? Let's read this. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places, and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Hey, this one isn't very direct or clear. Does anybody have a guess yet what my emphasis is going to be? what my emphasis tonight is going to be. This one's not super clear. There's a lot of ways you could go. So, nobody's sure yet? Matthew? Okay. That was going to be a little side point. Let's look at the good example. First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 12. So this is after Saul has died, and who's going to take over? We know it's been David was appointed king long before Saul's death. But afterwards, there were still some, you know, Saul's descendants here, and there's a little conflict over who's going to be king. And 1 Chronicles 12 is a beautiful chapter. We don't have time to read it all, but I would encourage you guys. This is just an absolute beautiful picture. Think about, who does David foreshadow? Christ, the king, right? This is a beautiful foreshadow of what his supporters are and what they do. And we're just going to jump down for the sake of time to verse 38. All these being men of war who could drop in battle formation came to Hebron with a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their kinsmen had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them, even as far as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and on oxen, great quantities of flour cakes, fig cakes, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep. There was joy indeed in Israel. Still a little vague. Any guesses? A little difference here. Jeremiah? All be of one mind. What's the one word that we would use to say that? United. Unity, right? Unity is, if a kingdom, for the purpose of a kingdom, how important is unity? What'd you say? Beautiful? It is beautiful. When unity abounds, what'd you say, Jeremiah? Huge. Oh, that's what's being, okay. I was thinking Mr. Simpson's getting old. Maybe I'm joining him. Sorry, Mr. Simpson. You know I love you. You look younger than me, but you are old, substantially older. So, go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Mr. Simpson told me that with his own words not very long ago, basically. He might not have said substantially, but that was the point. So Matthew chapter 12, you guys know what Jesus says. He's accused of casting out demon by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And in verse 25, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is speaking in reference to Satan's kingdom. But the principle is very clear, and it would apply certainly to the kingdom of God. Any kingdom that's divided isn't going to stand. Unity is important, brethren. Satan's goal is to divide and conquer. That's the way he operates.
Those of us who are students of the Rotherham version, we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where every other translation says, has Christ been divided? I think the Rotherham actually gets it right and says, Christ has been divided! Exclamation point. And you can see that in the text, that Paul's astonishment and his kind of his anger with them for actually taking dividing Christ that way.
I'm not that good enough of a student of Rotherham's, but I like the point. You know, the point that he does make, I mean, you can't read 1 Corinthians without recognizing the jealousy and strife that's among them and the division within the body of Christ. So,
what's the nomination mean?
What does that mean?
I'm going to let Mr. Simpson answer that his way. What's denomination mean? I think there's a couple different meanings for it. Certainly,
divide and name.
So, basically, there's no place for denominationalism. That's not the Lord's plan. Never has been. And you know, in all honesty, guys, it's really easy for us to stand up here and to preach against the denominations. That's an easy thing to do. We can pick on them, and they don't even make it tough for us to do that. So, and I appreciate when guys do that, because we do need to recognize stuff for what it is. But my concern, really, and my focus is us. We are the Lord's church, aren't we? And we need, if we want to remain the Lord's church, we don't want that lampstand being jerked out of its place, then we need to be united. No dividing and renaming. So, Jeremiah, what did you say before we said unity? What did you think my theme was for tonight? All of one mind. So, a couple things from that 1 Chronicles passage. They came, the men of war came with what kind of heart? It was a perfect heart, wasn't it? And they all with one mind made David king. Guys, we know Jesus is king, whether anybody recognizes that or not, but don't we still have a responsibility to sanctify him as Christ? Sanctify him as Lord in our hearts? So we as Christians, we come to this, to the kingdom of God, and we are committed in one mind, one heart. Jesus Christ, he is Lord. We don't ever want to get this confused. I know the sign out there at least has it right. It's Church of Christ. It's, you know, Kathy Simpson, this joke goes way back, but you know, she was sure one day she heard me answer the phone. I usually would answer it, Christ Church, this is Luke speaking. She was sure one day she heard me say, Luke's Church, this is Christ speaking. You know, I hope that wasn't true, but you know, it's not Luke's church. It's Christ's church. Jesus is the head of the church. And every one of us, we come with perfect heart. We come to expand His kingdom. We come bow down before Him that He is Lord. And then, so, you know, in Acts, and we're not going to look at the passages tonight, but you can read through, you know, Acts chapter 1, when they're in the upper room. What sort of attitude? Where are they at? They're with one mind praying, aren't they? We get to Acts chapter 2, the end of Acts chapter 2, the church, as it starts, what's their focus? They are of one mind. They're of one heart throughout the book of Acts. I like Acts chapter 15. There's great dissension and debate, but they come together, and they have great dissension and debate, and they come to a scriptural answer on what's to be done. And following that, having come together in one, as one mind, in one mind, then they give instructions and send this out to the rest of the brethren. That's the way the Lord's church is supposed to work. We got to sort through stuff. But this has the answers, doesn't it? So we sort through those things. And unity is super important. I want to, Matthew, go back to what you had mentioned in the first passage that we wrote, that we read. The question really was about worship. Where were the people, where was the nation of Israel supposed to worship? Jerusalem. Now we know that they had problems with offering sacrifices on the high places, etc. But when God set that, you know, prior to Jerusalem, there was Shiloh, then God sets that permanent temple up there, and David, with God's help, God's plans, David laid those plans out, got everything organized, prepared, and then Solomon, with the Lord's help, built that temple. But we are talking about, after Solomon's death, immediately after Solomon's death, what do we see happen This kingdom's divided, and a huge section of them now are going to go and they're going to worship somewhere else, aren't they? And why was Jeroboam, he was afraid. Why did he set up those idols at Dan and at Bethel? He sold it to the people for convenience, didn't he? That's the way it's still sold, guys. Okay. He sold it to the people for convenience purposes. But what was his goal? What was he afraid of? Michael.
He was afraid that all the people would be going down to Jerusalem and Jerusalem would be right.
If all the people went to Jerusalem to worship, what was going to happen? Yeah, they're going to be united. And if they're united, he's gone. And so he set up this alternate means of worship. Because central to unity in the Lord's church is worship in spirit and in truth, isn't it? We need to understand what worship is, and we need to worship in spirit and truth. It is not a certain building that we come to worship at. We worship God in spirit and truth. And there is, I'll just put it this way. When is the Christian not in the Spirit of God? When is the Christian not in truth? Where do we worship? Neither in Jerusalem nor in Mount Gerizim. But I think it's safe to say from the rest of the Scriptures, we worship in the heavenly places, the spiritual realm. And not a set time and place. It really is 24/7. Before the Lord. Not going into that too much tonight, but unity is essential for this kingdom of God. So I just want to ask you guys questions and give me a little input here. What does unity mean? What if a team's unified, what does that look like? Let's think about it in a couple of practical things that are easy. If a team's unified, what does that look like? One purpose. Okay? One purpose. That's important, isn't it? Let's write a few of these down. You guys will come up with better thoughts than, or certainly more expanded than I can come up with myself. One purpose. John Moransky. Selfless. I like that one. That was one that was... So, we'll come back and talk about these a little bit, but I just want to mention... So that means, you see sometimes the saying, there's no I in team. We sacrifice our own interests individually for the goal of the team. Okay. What else? Tim?
Individual roles support that purpose. What are the specific
roles? Roles on the team. That's right. Maybe I want to be a point guard, but there's somebody who's a little better point guard. But I'm a shooting guard, the coach, or maybe I'm backup point guard when the point guard's tired. Whatever that role is that the coach puts us in, we do that for the sake of accomplishing that one purpose. Mike W.
I'm sorry. You
were distracted by that woman the Lord gave you. Yes. Glad you guys are united. I'll come back to you. Bill. Pardon me?
Perfection?
Okay, when a team's clicking, it's perfection. There's some football movie. What's the name of that? They pulled the black and the white together. Remember the Titans. Okay, that in that movie, that coach was about, he wanted a team that was perfection. That was their goal, perfection. Okay? To win every game. They're losing at halftime of that championship game, and he says, that's all right, guys. We've done our best. We're in there, like, one of the players, like, no, coach, all the way from the beginning, you said you wanted this thing to be to perfect. We're not gonna give up on that right now. So I like that. Mike.
I remember.
Yes.
Of the same mindset.
Same mindset? Oh, man, he's taking shots at his wife tonight. Good thing you guys are united in Christ.
One of my favorite lines in that is when he asks the team, who do you play for?
So
until they get the one answer that was right, I play on Team USA.
So some of us haven't seen that movie Miracle, but it's from The Miracle on Ice, 1980, where the U.S. beat the Soviets and they were supposed to be unbeatable. It was back when it was only amateurs allowed in, right? So it was all these college players, okay, that this coach, I believe it was Herb Brooks, and he didn't take the best players, did he? He took the best team who would be in, but they're struggling. And he's like, who do you play for? Mike, who do you play for? And he says, his college team. Matthew, who do you play for? He says, college team. So-and-so, who do you play? He says, college team. And they're running lines. Over and over. Skating lines, however that works. So finally, somebody's able to give the right answer. Coach, I play for USA or Team USA or however that goes. So, good point. So, what was that mindset and...
Of the same mindset.
Okay. John.
Team player.
Okay, that's, yeah, we really put the team first, right? It's not all about padding my stats. It's doing, if the coach wants me in there and play defense, you go play defense. Even though nobody else really notices, if that's, you need to shut somebody down, that can be the difference between winning or losing. Lorenzo. I was hoping someone was going to say practice. Practice together, right? And you do know. It's interesting. Sometimes you just throw teams together and never really played together. Lots of great athletes, but you throw them all out there and if they haven't played together, you see there's a lot of mistakes because they don't know what the other one's going to do. So that's excellent. Jeremy. Okay. Ooh, I like that. Same playbook. We're not bringing in our own and audibling at the line of scrimmage and say like, what? What's that? Coach is like, you never heard that one before. Oh, that's my play. I think this is good. Let's just run through these. Brad, you got one more? Pardon me? Teach. Okay. Yeah. There's teaching required by coaches, by internal leadership on the team. Okay. They should be able to show. Lots of times, any good team. It's going to stay a good team and be a program. The older are going to teach the younger guys the right way of doing things, aren't they? I really like that one. Wow. Super Dave.
Along with teach, you better put teachable.
Amen. That's another one from Book of Proverbs. Be teachable. Matthew.
Accountability.
Very true, because... we all know sometimes we need a teammate to call us out if we're not holding up our part. Larry.
Humility.
Some of these are interrelated, but that's very good. All right, guys, I'm cutting it off here. Okay? I think we're doing pretty good. So let's think about in the Lord's church. Is there one purpose? Anybody think of a scripture that might say something about one purpose? Mike W.?
Philippians 2.
Let's turn there real quick. Let's flip to Philippians. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We'll hit a couple here. A few on this. Let's begin in verse 1. If therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, and we'd all say, yes, 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 check, 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 right? Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. That covers a lot of these. Doesn't it? Okay. What? Intent on one purpose. Because what is the one purpose? So you can save that which is lost. Build the kingdom of God, right? Bring glory to the Father. There's different ways we can say that. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church, so the rulers and authorities that have. We can say that a bunch of different ways. But the focus is Christ's name being out there and Him being glorified. This is not one of the things that we really got to fight against, because it's sold and it's pushed and we can buy into this mode. You know, the church is not here for me. This is not about, well, I'm looking for a church where I'm comfortable. Well, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Okay? The Lord's church, nowhere that Jesus went, I mean, there's internal comfort. But in the world, you shall have tribulation. You follow Christ, you're going to be in the middle of controversy all the time. This is not a place for you to come and be comfortable. This is nothing, in one sense, this has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with our King. It's that one purpose, spreading His Word, building that kingdom. And I'll just put this briefly. We build the kingdom really in two ways. Save sinners, saving sinners, and perfecting saints. Both of those things are important in that building process. It's one purpose. It's doing what the Lord wants. How about selfless? Do nothing from selfishness. Spend a little time in prayer on that one. Do nothing from selfishness. There is no room for I on the Lord's team. I think we all experience it. We know what the Lord says about it. But it's an amazing thing. When I die to myself, I'm alive. When you die to yourself, Christ lives in you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And what's he talking about? His death, isn't he? The means by which he was going to die. He says it in other ways, unless a grain of wheat falls on the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. Sometimes we're lonely. Hey, well, man, I'm lonely in the church. Sometimes, guys, the root of loneliness is selfishness. We got to die to ourselves. When we die to ourselves. So, just by way of passing, when we come to the assembly of the saints, aren't we supposed to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? We do. That's the purpose. We come. How much thought do you put into that? How much do you consider that? How much, bunch of different ways we can think about this. But when you come to the assembly and you go out of your way to encourage somebody else, I guarantee you, you will be encouraged. But if you find an obscure spot, to be able to participate, and then later you wonder, you go home and nobody talked to me. Those people are not friendly there. Okay? What? Something's wrong. And that wrong starts with me. I went there for the wrong reason, didn't I? I'm being selfish. Okay. We give to others. And there's so many ways I think we've all experienced that in our life. It's the most basic aspect of a relationship. In a husband-wife relationship, if you're thinking about what that other person should be doing for you all the time, you're always going to be disappointed, aren't you? But if you're giving for them, you're laying down your life for them, guess what? You get fulfillment. How about roles? I think Romans chapter 12 would be one example about that. Let no one think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. God's allowed to each measure of faith. And so then he goes through a list of things. And what he says, basically, I'm just going to boil this all down. Do what you're good at. Whatever you do, whatever you're good at, do it for the Lord. And whether anybody else notices or not, you sign up to mow? Mow. Or get somebody else to mow for you. That's what I did. Sorry. But carry through. I'm not trying to say passively. Just anyways, long story. Excuses. Whether anybody notices it or not, do it. Does the Lord notice? Because how much little stuff goes on in the Lord's church that makes this thing continue to move forward. You know, we have potlucks, and I see people staying in there for a long time after washing dishes. Does that count for something? If they're doing it for the Lord, if they're doing it without complaint, that counts for something. A lot. So, what, you know, whatever your role, hey, some people give monetarily. You know what? If you're giving monetarily with liberality, nobody else is going to know about that, are they? Because you know why? You're not doing it to be noticed by men. And so you're not going to sit there and, hey, and we don't have a records in the back of the biggest givers, the gold club, the silver club, the whatever. It doesn't work that way in the church. Okay? The Lord knows what your role is. You do that. Okay? Perfection. The Lord is in the process of perfecting us individually and His church, His bride. Okay? I'm not going to talk about that too much tonight. How about the same mindset? Of the same mind, I think it says here, right? Kind of the same mindset. That mindset means to be mindset on the things of the Spirit. That mindset means to believe that Christ is able to help us overcome self. Let's pick a number. If 75% of the church thinks we can never be like Christ, 25% of the church thinks we can be like Christ. Jesus said we can. We can do this. Is that going to be the same mindset? And as soon as I say it can't be done, I gave myself an out for when I'm not being a team player. Didn't I? Because, you know, that's just the sin in my life I can't quite overcome. We need to be of the same mindset. The Spirit. Team player. These are kind of... like some of these are overlapping a little, but Jesus first, His kingdom first. You know, we serve an awesome God. And God is able to... we all know Romans 8:28, right? Let's turn there really quickly, because most of us, I oftentimes think of Romans 8:28 primarily in reference to me. Romans 8:28... and we know. I gotta say something too about parents with kids. I appreciate you guys. Okay? I'm thankful that we have parents with kids and kids that cry and scream. I remember my buddy Caleb, my son Caleb. He was strong-willed bugger. I took him out, spank him, bring him back in. Took him out, spank him, bring him back. Took him out, spank him, bring. We were visiting Bozeman one time, and I probably took him out 7 times. And some of Julie's relatives were like, they thought I was way too mean. Caleb's still strong-willed, but it's pointing in the right direction now. So parents, keep it up. Okay, I like it. I like what you guys are doing. And in and out, teach them. It's the way they learn. Appreciate you guys. Where are we at? Romans 8:28. We know that God caused all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But if you back this up to verse 26... in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things. This is first and foremost for the will of God, isn't it? And you know what's amazing? Shouldn't shock us? This isn't about you. This is about the will of God. But when it's in accordance with the will of God, in the end, it's best for you too. Any team, anybody that's a team player, in the end, any player on that team that is doing their part, okay, when this comes through to fruition, okay, that player is going to get their recognition too, aren't they? You will get more recognition as a team that wins or a team that loses. You can put up all the gaudy stats you want, and if you lose all the time, you aren't going to get it right. It's about the team. And God is able to make, when we, what's best for Him is for His kingdom, is best for you personally. That's the way this works. God has it set up that way. Practice together. I'm glad somebody hit this one. You know what? You don't practice together with the team. You don't come. You don't fellowship with the saints. You don't assemble together. You don't get to know your brethren. You don't have people over. You don't have all things in common. You don't show up for practices. Guess what? I don't trust you as your fellow teammate. Who was it that brought this one up? Lorenzo. You get to know what the other person thinks and what they do, and you get to appreciate them, and you understand their strengths. If we don't practice together, how committed am I to the team? Okay. If those players that in 1980 weren't showing up for practices, you know what? They're going to be cut. God really doesn't care about numbers. God cares about faithful disciples. We have to think about this. How are we on this team? You want trust? You want to build trust? You want to have trust with your brethren? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Be friendly. Get out there. Interact. Playbook. God's book. God's place. Wow, you guys are making me run way over. But I don't want to erase this till we get him. Playbook. It's the Lord's book. We don't get to add our own stuff in or cut stuff out. Okay? No, extra creeds or any of that stuff. Okay? What God says. We got to teach. We got to help each other. If you care about something, no. The best team players, they teach the guy next to them, even if that guy ends up taking their spot, because it's best for the team. Iron sharpens iron. We want to teach. Okay. Ooh, that guy, he's pretty talented. Or that lady, she's really good at that. I don't think I should teach her because then they might come and take away my place. Guys, there's plenty of work to go around. Jesus prayed. You know, we pray for opportunity. I think that's good. But Jesus prayed for workers. The Lord would send out laborers. There's plenty. So teach and be teachable. Okay. An older brother or sister, maybe a younger brother or sister. Maybe they take you aside and they want to teach a little something to you and it rubs you the wrong way. Steve Doty says, rubs you the wrong way, rubs your fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Okay. Hey, my dad told me something that stuck with me my whole life. Always listen to your critics. They'll tell you things your friends won't. Okay. Sometimes there's some truth in that. So listen and learn. But better than that is what the Scripture says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Don't we want in the body of Christ to be able to share with each other? This goes along with accountability. To be able to tell each other, hey, we need to step it up. Hey, I notice you're struggling. What can I do to help you out? And not be offended when that happens, because it's best. We know the root of that is we care about you and we care about the kingdom. That needs to take place. And then, of course, humility in all of this. Humility is probably a great word to put all the rest of those together. Thanks for your input tonight, guys. I didn't make it very far in my notes, but you guys did good. All right. What do we got for prayer requests? Thanksgiving tonight. Super Dave. Yes. I didn't really see any updates today. I don't know. Has anybody? Larry?
We dropped in or off to as far as Alan, I don't think there's a lot of change. One thing that they're trying to figure out is on Tuesday, yesterday, they had a meeting where the doctors came and evaluated him, and they were going to decide. Basically, my understanding was they were going to decide whether or not he's brain dead, and their have consulted other people as far as their rights, in the hospital, they decide to bring them, you may terminate his life, So there's a lot of that going on right now. As per Alan, he moves something here or there.
Okay, so prayers not just for Alan, but for the Stone family and for wisdom and all of that, for sure. Who's that? Is that Tylen? What you got, girl? Pray for Laurel and your little sister, Douglin. Okay, so the Bixby baby. and mom. So how is it going well? Okay, great. So it's Thanksgiving. Chris.
For my niece Krista, she's featuring, and I was at Jennifer finds the right doctor to find out why. She's doing grand mal. She's always has a little bit of breakthrough, but grand mal is becoming more frequent. We don't know if it has hormones or what's causing it.
So Chris Wildman's niece, Trista, some of us would remember her from before when Jennifer came for a little while. So prayers for her with her seizures, that they can figure out what's going on. John Morantic. Okay, let's pray. Okay. Prayers for health, both physical and more importantly, spiritual health. I mean, physical health is good to pray for. Spiritual is even more important. Larry.
So Thanksgiving for Sam and Noah's wedding was exciting. There was a very great help from the Lord. Prayers for Karen, her grandma is going to die literally probably within hours. That's hard on her. She was a loving grandma. I had a grandma on Christmas, so that's a toughie. Prayers for me as well. I'm doing really good. Now they have connected an electronic device to me. I've got 3 more weeks of that. Really cranks up my brain.
On your psyche?
Yeah, just kind of nagging me. So I can't give me down in time, so I appreciate being prayers for that.
Okay. Guys, you know, to stop and say it's amazing when you think about this, little Larry, where, I mean, keep praying for him. Keep praying for Larry for sure. And pray, because it is amazing how good you're doing. If you remember when Larry first, so sometimes to review the tape. And spiritually, guys, there's a lesson for all of us, too, on that. Sometimes you don't want to forget your purification from your former sins. You don't want to dwell in the past, but sometimes you got to check that rearview mirror and say, Lord, thanks for bringing me this far. And definitely prayers for Larry mentally, and that you'll also physically keep recovering. So, Sheree. I was really encouraged. The wedding was great. It was about Christ, and I know it made an impact on Gary. He told me that it made a huge impact on him. So Cherie's husband Gary, that this would be a way of helping him really come to the truth about the Lord. So Brad, Matt, pray for the church around the world. I was balder then than I am now, wasn't I? Yeah. Had that death warmed over look a little bit. Yeah, Thanksgiving to the Lord for that. Yep. Amen. And thanks for Luke's health, even though that's a long time ago, but it is Thanksgiving. And it, you know, and the brethren, the love of the brethren through that, and we see it now again with Larry and through the stones, just a great thing, guys. So, Mikkel. Prayers for Jeff Bisco and Steve Doty in Belarus right now. Lorenzo? You bet. Pray that the word would spread rapidly. It's amazing. You start praying that. You start looking for those opportunities and you see them, don't you? And then you seize them. So, that's great. Matthew. Prayers for... Yeah, prayers for Matthew's friend, Justin Dreesen. Played soccer since they were 13 together, and he was a really good first Bible study. So he's going back to Bozeman soon, so we're going to just kind of quickly laid out some stuff, but prayers for him for sure. That was super fun. He seems like a real truth seeker. So, Evan.
Thank God again for the privilege of prayer.
Amen. Thank you that we ask anything according to His will. He hears us. Amen. And only Christians have that privilege through Christ. So, Sue.
This isn't a her question. This is an announcement. Jared made up a whole bunch of info sheets plus liability waivers for our big field trip on the 13th.
Okay.
And he would like you guys to check in with me, confirm all of the information, get your sheets, and yes, if you have any questions, you can see the sheet, but I'll do my best to answer them.
Okay, so if you're planning on going to that Glendive Creation Museum trip on August 13th, make sure you get an information sheet from Sue, and there's also a waiver that you have to sign if we're traveling together. I don't know how that works. But anyway, see Sue. She should have the answers. Dr. Dobson. Pardon me, Dave? Prayers for your mom and dad, what?
That they can get through this.
If they can get through this.
I mean, he's in his 90s, so...
And, bro, we met him, right, when you went through your deal. So talking about Thanksgiving, you are a great example, brother, by the way. Absolute great example. I appreciate you so much. What you've done, but some of us met your dad, so we know. But pray for him, and they can get through this. And they seemed to have a little spiritual bite when you were there, but however the Lord, if He can make this work to get him to take the next step and actually honest inquiry, that'd be great too. So, Super Dave. You bet. There are lots of Bible studies going on. Right now I'm super blessed. I have a bunch of Bible studies, just prayers for, if you guys would pray, prayers for me. Linda, prayers for me for boldness. And keep those cinnamon things coming too. They help me. But prayers for the studies that are going on, guys. This is people's eternities are on the line, and we want people to, you know, anytime you get to sit down and talk with somebody about eternity, what more important thing could you ever do? So let's uphold each other in prayers for that. Sheree. Yeah, prayers for Serena. It's good she's here and with you, and she's been immersed into Christ, right? So prayers that she can grow and step at a time here. So, and I would like prayers, guys, for all the new Christians. There's a bunch of them, and that we can encourage them and help them in any which way. And I will just tell all the new Christians who are here and those who are usually here, like, you're going to make it. You gotta sell out. It's the kingdom of God is everything. And you get in, you be a part of this, you will be blessed. If you're on the fringe and one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're gonna end up, you know, I hope that the Lord will rescue you and help you make it to heaven, but it's gonna be a miserable time. So as soon as you just get in the church, and you read the book of Revelation, those who are in the courtyard don't make it. Get in. All right. Dave.
I gotta go into I think the world's going through labor pains right now. Please pray for our government as crazy as it's gonna get.
Yes.
You know, Brad talks about praying for the church around the world. Yeah, we need to pray for the world. And we know what Scripture said is gonna happen, so
prayers for the Lord does tell us to pray for kings and for all who are in authority, right? Not supposed to be kings in the United States, but it's getting that way. So we're, you know, and the reason is so we can lead a tranquil and quiet life, and so that all can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's good to pray for, guys. You know, so the church can do what we're supposed to do. And I'll just say this: while we have opportunity, we better do what we're supposed to do. Larry.
Is it right to also pray Maranatha?
Yes. Yes, please. Maranatha.
I'm good to come back anytime personally.
Me too. Me too. There's some people in Bible study where I really wanted to make it, but hey, but Maranatha. You know, when Brad was talking about me, thanks for cancer, I was like, yeah, I am thankful. I'm looking at my family, I think I'm thankful. I look at you guys, I think I'm thankful, but there's a place way better than this place, guys. There's a place way, way, way better than this place. So let's pray. Lord, we really do thank you so much for that you are the head of the church. We thank you so much for the brethren and for the opportunity to stand shoulder to shoulder. Lord, I pray that we would be united, that we would be intent on one purpose, that we would individually, each of us, that we would die to ourselves and live to you. That whether we live or die, we are yours. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunities that you give each one of us and the roles that you've given to us. And help us to do our part and to do it for you. Even for slaves, Lord, in the New Testament times, and you said to be obedient to their masters, and they're doing this for you. Lord, when we're working, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do all for your glory. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to keep to remember that. We pray, Lord, for there's a lot of health things going on right now. We've been praying so hard for Alan and we pray, Lord, for the stones. And we don't know your will in this situation, but what we do know is that if we respond appropriately, that you will be glorified, that you do cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and to those who are called according to your purpose. And so we pray for wisdom for the doctors and wisdom for the stones, and we continue to pray for little Alan, Lord. We know anytime you want to, if you so desire and if this would be the way in which would be best for you and your kingdom, that you could hit that reboot button. And Lord, we don't doubt your power one bit. You spoke this creation into existence, and we know the power of your word. And so we trust you. We trust you when things go well, and we trust you when things are seemingly not going well, because we know they're still going in accordance with your plan, and your plan is good. Lord, we pray for all the health situations. I'm really thankful for Larry Miller and just the way that you have really helped him come to a speedy recovery. As you continue to help him to recover all the way, 100%. And Lord, anybody who's been through these types of things understands there's a spot where the mental gets to be a real, it's difficult, Lord, on the mind. I just ask that you strengthen him and help him to get through that and to keep focusing on you. I know that he is Lord, a man who is a kingdom first guy. And so I ask that you continue to strengthen him and his family, and for Karen and reference to her grandma. Lord, we are thankful for Cherie's husband Gary, and that the wedding of Nolan and Sam was such a great, he could see the love, Lord, of you within this body, and that he also could see you. And so I ask that you continue to be with that and guide him. And thank you for all the opportunities that you give us, Lord, all the Bible studies that are going on, both for those who are the lost, who are still coming to know you, and for those who are saved, who are growing in you, Lord, that we would would continue to teach and that we would be teachable. And that we would really in our own lives, Father, live by faith, be led by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, so that as we ask other people, Lord, to follow us, we can ask other people to follow us as we follow you. This is your plan. And Lord, you have said your own words that when the disciple has been fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. And I know your power. I know you are the perfect teacher. So you're able to bring us into conformity with you. So help us to enjoy this process and to enjoy the fellowship that we have together. We ask that you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.